Thank you. And I also would like to thank the organizers for giving me a chance to present a talk here. So today I'd like to talk about the dense flow downward slope as shown in this movie. And the work here has been done in collaboration with Professor Hizu Nakanishi in Kyushu University and financially supported by Riken and JSPF. So the flow downward slope is now being studied very actively, and we've already heard some of them in this morning. And here I show the phase diagram obtained by Silbert et al. By their large-scale simulations. And it's known that for the too low inclination angle, no flow occurs. And for too large inclination angle, the flow becomes unstable. But between these two, there is a region where the stable flow is found, and there the steady flow is realized. And Schubert et al. Studies the detailed properties of the steady flows, and our work here is motivated by their interesting report about the density profile. And we've already heard about it in this morning, but I'd like to repeat again. And so here I show the packing fraction versus the height coordinate y. And here I show the data from our own two-dimensional simulations, but I summarize here as first reported by Silbert. And here the red curve is the density profile for the inclination angle 20 degrees. The sky blue one is for 21 degrees. And the black one is for 22 degrees, and the blue one is for 23 degrees. So you see that the density decreases as you increase the inclination angle, which is very natural. And the remarkable thing here is that in the bulk of the density, the profile is very flat. And if you increase, this one is the model disperse. Yeah. And if you increase the total flow height, then we find that the bulk flat region becomes wider, but the value of the density is the same for the same inclination angle. And it is also possible to change the geometry at the bottom boundary, say by attaching the particles with different diameters to the slope. And then we can have very different behavior near the bottom, but still we have the bulk region where the density is very flat, and the value of the density is the same for the same inclination angle. And what we are interested in here is that how we can understand the bulk rheology with density plateau. And here I give qualitative dimensional analysis at first, and then give a quantitative analysis by using the kinetic theory. So first I'd like to give the dimensional analysis. So it's well known that the Bagnold scaling holds in the dense flow downward slope, and the scaling says that the shear stress S should be proportional to the shear rate squared. And it is also known that the Bagnold scaling can be obtained from the very simple dimensional analysis. So in the shear flow of rigid grains, the flow is characterized by the particle mass, particle diameter, number density, and the shear rate. So the inverse of the shear rate is the only time scale in the system. And then to have the correct dimension for the shear stress, we should have the Bagnold scaling. And here we have a dimensionless coefficient A, which depends on the packing fraction in general. So this argument should hold as long as the particles are rigid enough and the time scale of the particle deformation does not come into this dimensional analysis. And we can extend this Bagnold scaling to the pressure because the pressure has the same dimension as the shear stress. And then we have the pressure N proportional to the shear rate squared with another dimensionless coefficient B of nu. And at the same time, in the steady flow of downward slope, we have the force balance gives the relation that S over N is always equal to tangent of theta. So from these three equations, we have the relation between the inclination angle and the packing fraction, which is tangent of theta equals A of nu over B of nu. So this means that the density is determined solely by theta and independent of the height, so it's constant density profile. So now we have the constant density, but the only problem of this kind of argument is that we don't know the functional forms for the A of nu and B of nu. So to give some quantitative argument, we need a theory that gives constitutive relations. And unfortunately, for the dense flow like that, the constitutive relation has not been established yet. However, for low density flows, the constitutive relations from the kinetic theory of inelastic hard spheres have been widely used. And the theory based on the Boltzmann or Enskog type equation, so it can be considered as a microscopic theory. And it's known that at least for low density flow with small energy dissipation, quantitative agreement can be obtained between the theory and, say, simulation data or experimental data. However, the research to show that how far or how dense we can go with the kinetic theory or how it fails in the denser region is rather rare. So here we compare the theory with the simulation data to see if the theory gives a starting point to describe the flow or not in the dense region. So in the hydrodynamic model from the kinetic theory, we usually take the number density n, the mean velocity v, and the granular temperature T as the hydrodynamic variables. And then we have the equation of continuity, equation of motion, and equation of energy. Then the difference from the molecular fluid is this energy dissipation term due to the dissipative nature of grain interactions such as inelasticity. And the constitutive relations for the stresses or heat flux dissipations can be obtained from the kinetic theory calculations. And I think there are many kinds of approximations in kinetic theory, and we can have different constitutive relations, but I think large part of them can be summarized as follows. So in the kinetic theory, the granular temperature T is usually treated as a separate variable. And then what we get is somehow similar to what we have in the molecular fluid. So, for example, the shear stress is basically given by the momentum transfer per grain, which is proportional to the mass times mean free pass times shear rate, and the particle flux is proportional to the density times fluctuation velocity. And then up to the Navier-Stokes order, we have the shear stress proportional to the shear rate. And then we have viscosity, which is proportional to the square root of temperature and depends on the packing fraction in general. And similar argument gives the pressure proportional to the granular temperature and the heat flux proportional to the gradient of temperature. And the energy dissipation term is proportional to T to 3/2 because the dissipation per collision is proportional to the temperature and the collision rate is proportional to the square root of temperature. And the functions of F of nu are obtained by the kinetic theory calculations, and it depends on the collision models and approximations in general, but we can get the functional forms from the kinetic theory calculations. So, and we'd like to apply these constitutive relations to the dense flow, where we have the Bagnodo scaling in the bulk. So, if we compare the constitutive relations from the kinetic theory to the Bagnodo scaling, we immediately see that The Bagnold scaling holds if the granular temperature is proportional to the shear rate squared. And in the framework of kinetic theory, the temperature is determined by the equation of energy balance. And we have the divergence of heat flux, the viscous heating, and the energy dissipation. And the only term that may bring the time scale other than the local shear rate is this heat flux term. So if this divergence of heat flux term is negligible, then we can have the local balance between the viscous heating and the energy dissipation. And this relation gives the temperature proportional to the shear rate squared. And we can confirm this local balance by looking at the temperature profile in the simulation. And we estimated the viscous, the divergence of heat flux over the viscous heating. And then we see that in the bulk, it fluctuates around zero, though we have very bad statistics. But near the, so in the bulk, it looks like we can neglect the effect, even though we have some considerable effect near the boundary. Yeah. So, pardon? You mean the heat flux? And actually, I calculated this one from the constitutive relations by Jenkins and Richman. So I use the temperature profile to get the value. If we measure it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it seems that we can apply this local balance at least in the bulk. And then we have this relation, and if we insert this into the ratio between the shear stress and normal stress, then we have the relation between the inclination angle and the packing fraction. And now we know the functional forms basically from the kinetic theory calculations. So we can compare this with the simulation data. And in our simulation, the soft sphere model was adopted, but with very hard particle stiffness parameter. And the normal restitution coefficient used was 0.92, which is relatively large. And the Coulomb friction coefficient was 0.5. And the tangential restitution coefficient for non-slip collision was 1. And we compare the simulation data with the constitutive relation obtained by Jenkins and Richman in 1985. It was a calculation for dense flow of two-dimensional hard spheres, and they used the constant restitution coefficient in both the normal and the tangential directions. And one thing I should note is that because I have the Coulomb friction in our simulation, but in the theory they don't have it, there is some ambiguity in determining the tangential restitution coefficient of beta and the rotational temperature T tilde, in which appears in the constitutive relations. So in the following analysis, I set beta equals beta zero, this one, and I tried several values of the rotational temperature. So this is our data, and the upper figure, I plotted the pressure divided by the granular temperature plotted against the packing fraction. And the open symbols are from the bulk and surface layer. And the field circles give the data from near the bottom boundary. And in the bulk, because the density is constant, we essentially have the many points at one packing fraction, which located here and here and here and here. And what we find is that the open symbols, I mean the bulk and surface layer data, collapse onto a single line, which agree with the framework of the kinetic theory. However, the data from the bottom boundary layer gives qualitative disagreement, and it should be due to very strong effect of boundary. And in the lower figure, I plotted the shear stress divided by the square root of temperature and the shear rate. And we again find that the bulk and the surface layer data collapse onto a single line, though the data from the bottom boundary gives some deviation. And the red solid lines here are from the kinetic theory constitutive relations, and which agree with the open symbols very well. So we can say that the stresses in the bulk and the surface layer agree with the kinetic theory quantitatively, even in the high density region. And now I look at the energy dissipation term. And to get the energy dissipation, we use the condition that the heat flux divergence is negligible in the bulk. So we can use only bulk data, so we essentially have 4 points, which from 4 different inclination angles, yes? And here, the energy dissipation term divided by the temperature to 3/2 is plotted against the packing fraction. And we find, and we have several lines from the kinetic theory, and this is due to the ambiguity in the tangential interaction that I shortly mentioned. And the different lines correspond to the constitutive relations with different rotational temperatures. And what we see is that both the simulation data and the kinetic theory constitutive relations gives the increasing dissipation for a larger packing fraction. But we notice that the F3 of nu from the kinetic theory increases a bit faster than the simulation data. So the kinetic theory somehow overestimates the dissipation in the denser region. Now we use... So because we have some ambiguity, So all the data is, So now we can use these three lines to give the inclination angle dependence of the packing fraction. And here I plotted the inclination angle versus the packing fraction. And then in the simulation, the density will decrease as you increase the inclination angle. However, the kinetic theory gives the opposite tendency, namely the density increase with you increase the inclination angle. And if we consider the relatively good agreement in the stresses, this discrepancy mainly comes from the discrepancy in the energy dissipation term, F3 of nu. Because F3 of nu appears in the numerator here, the overestimation of F3 of nu in the denser region results in the larger tangent of theta for a larger density in the kinetic theory calculations. So let me summarize our result at this point. So we have analyzed the dense granular flow down a slope by using the kinetic theory, and we have the normal and the shear stresses from the kinetic theory agree with the simulation data, even though the high density region. And however, we find that the kinetic theory overestimates the density dependence of the energy dissipation term in denser region. And due to this discrepancy in the energy dissipation term, the kinetic theory gives the increasing density upon increasing inclination angle, which is opposite from the simulation result. And should I stop?
There's an obvious comment.
Mm-hmm.
That's on. There's an obvious comment, which is that you would anticipate that correlations between neighboring particle motions
yeah.
tend to reduce
yeah.
the amount of dissipation
yeah.
even for constant granular temperature.
Yeah.
But this is really kind of a suggestion, which is you might think if mm-hmm. a correlation length approach is correct,
mm-hmm.
then you would anticipate that reduction factor would go as some power of L sub E. And from your data, you could actually estimate that power and see whether or not mm. that is a realistic picture or not.
You mean from?
Yes. So the idea there
mm-hmm.
is that as if you look at the different angles there,
uh-huh.
You could extract what is the correlation length corresponding to those angles, which
uh-huh.
would also be related to H stop
uh-huh.
at those angles, and then you could say, does that match a simple reduction factor that's corresponding to the correlation length or not?
So how you can get the simple estimation connection?
Well, in each case, so if you picked some uh-huh. rotational temperature,
uh-huh.
okay, you know, whichever one you thought was,
yeah.
was best for your system,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then each of those lines is reduced by some factor
mm-hmm.
with respect to the curve on which it should lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that factor has some functional dependence on theta,
uh-huh.
and therefore on L sub E.
Yeah.
And if the, you know, and if that corresponded to a particular power of L sub E,
mm-hmm.
then it might lead to a simple physical picture
uh-huh.
of the way in which the correlations are reducing the dissipation.
Oh, I see.
Thank you for showing this. The discrepancy that's right there on the diagram to the right, not only is in the magnitude, but also in the trend. So one would have to come up, if one is to repair
mm-hmm.
the dissipation function F3,
mm-hmm.
one is not only to repair its magnitude, but repair its trend, which may be much more difficult than
mm-hmm.
than
yeah.
repairing simply the magnitude.
Thanks. Just to make sure that I understand,
mm-hmm.
the overestimation is
mm-hmm.
kinetic theory relative
yeah.
to simulation.
Yeah.
And
so increase faster than the simulation data do. So.
Yep. But
yeah.
the simulation. How do you get it in this high density?
Yeah, so it's actually I used the condition that the heat flux divergence is negligible. So if it's true, then we can have the dissipation equal to the viscous heating. And it's easy to measure the shear stress and the shear rate. So actually, what I plot is that the viscous heating divided by the temperature to 3/2. Okay, so in terms of crystallization, if we see, then I don't know if you can see very well, but if we see the snapshot, then this is kind of snapshot, and I don't know, you may see something or not, but if you see the time sequence, then because the shear is rather strong, the structure does not sustain for a long time, but it's changing in time. So I don't think we have strict crystallization.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean that the static correlation or the G of nu or G of L will be changed in the I don't know.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Last question. Yeah. Sorry, the other thing was you still have a problem with the way the angle goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me there are two different issues here. One is the dissipation rate, the other is that as a function of volume fraction, the angle is going the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But, yeah, I think.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.